Rolling on your test, I'm at Bay's, the third line of the wide lines. Still continuing to talk about Dinium of Mycenae. We know that Mycenae has to be taken to your Shalim and eaten there. We were discussing the Dinium of we were discussing the Dinium that it has to be eaten inside your Shalim and that it has to be eaten. Both the person and the Mycenae have to be Tahor, etc. So now the Gemara continues. At what point does a person become chayav of malchus for eating Mycenae? And should raw pnei achoyma once it saw the face of the wall, meaning in other words, once it was brought into your shalayim. So therefore, when our Mishnah had said that if a person eats Mycenae outside of your shalayim, it would have to mean, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that he brought it into your shalayim and then he took it back out. My timer, why is that? Because the Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem alekecha techlenu shana v'shana. The Pasuk says you should eat it every year in front of Hashem. The word shana v'shana doesn't actually belong over here. Those are actually from a different Pasuk about bechorim of animals. But anyway, the point is, the Pasuk says about Mycenae, you should eat it before Hashem. The Pasuk also says that you're not allowed to eat it in your gates, meaning outside your shalayim. Therefore, we learn from that, whenever the concept of eating it before Hashem applies, namely when it was inside your shalayim, which is considered before Hashem, then the din that you're not allowed to eat it out in your new gates, outside your shalayim, applies, and therefore there would be malchus. Whereas if you don't have that, you don't have yet the mitzvah of eating it before Hashem, because you didn't bring it into your shalayim, then the loisuchal b'sharecha doesn't apply yet. A couple of interesting things in that regard is, first of all, Tosfos says, in that case, then why would a person ever be poured in Mycenae? A person just wouldn't bring his Mycenae to your shalayim. He'd never be chayev for eating it outside your shalayim, and that would be that. The answer is, Tosfos says, he'd still be oivan a mitzvah saseh. He wouldn't be oivan a loisas, and as we're saying over here, until it's brought into your shalayim, fine, but there would still be an essay involved, so for that reason alone, he would be poided, and then be bringing the money to your shalayim. Another point, actually, that the Chofetz Chaim brings up in his sefer, Lekutei Halachos, is that the psukim go in the order, first loisuch alecha b'sharecha, and then lifnei Hashem alekecha techlanu. So how can we say that the lav comes into play only after the assay, when they're written in the other way, when they're written in the opposite order in the psukim? So he says that the Chofetz Chaim explains that obviously loisuch alecha b'sharecha is talking about after it was brought to Yerushalayim, because then you have already earlier in the Pesukim where it mentions all the things you need to bring to Yerushalayim, and one of them is my, and one of them is my Mycenae. So therefore, of necessity, we're talking about where this was already brought to Yerushalayim, and now we're saying therefore that there's an isser that there's an isser to eat it over there. So, in fact, not just the fact that it says earlier in the Pesukim, but because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk doesn't say that you should bring it el ha-mokom asher yivchar Hashem, it says you should eat it before Hashem, lifnei Hashem alekecha techlanu, ba-mokom asher yivchar Hashem. If it meant that it's also, even before you bring it to your shalayim, then first it should be saying you have to bring it to your shalayim and then eat it. That implies, in other words, we're talking about you don't have to bring it because it's already brought in, and that's when leisuch alecha b'sharecha applies. The Aruch HaShulchan also gives a different point on it. He says, because otherwise you have the word lifnei Hashem alekecha techlanu seems to be extra, so therefore we can say that it means when it's even in Yerushalayim, right? So the Gemara says, what's this Meisvi though? I have a contradiction on that, because a Braisa says, Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Koyin shall also be yodet te'ina shal tevel. If a Koyin picks up a fig of tevel, that trumas and maestros have not been taken from it yet, and he says, ke'enazu trumasa v'uqza, so he says, within this fig, the truma of this fig, of course the truma is only going to be a tiny amount, it's only about 2% of it, but that truma of this fig is going to be designated v'uqza at the end of the fig where the stem is. Mycerishin b'tzfoina. Then he continues and says the mycerishin, the 10% that's going to have to be the mycerishin, is going to be designated on the north side of this fig, or Maisa Sheni L'Jeroyma, and Maisa Sheni on the south side. V'hishnas Maisa Sheni V'hu B'Yerushalayim. Now, if this is a year of, and we're talking about, this is a year of Maisa Sheni, the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, which is when you take Maisa Sheni, V'hu B'Yerushalayim. Now, this Kohen is located in Yerushalayim when he's doing this. And by the way, even though he's a Kohen, he still has to, that Yvonne points out, he still has to designate Truma. You can't say, well, he himself can eat Truma. You still require that, you still require him to say where the Truma is. So therefore he has to say definitively that it's going to be at this end or at that end or whatever in order for him to, in order for this to work. So now, okay, he's going in order because there's a mitzvah in the Torah to give the maestros in order. So he does Truma, then Maisa Rishon, then Maisa Sheni. Oy Maisa Oni V'Hubigvulin. And then, or for example, or it's a year of Maisa Oni, it's the third or sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, and he's anywhere outside. And he's anywhere outside Yerushalayim, because as far as Maisa Oni, Yerushalayim or not doesn't matter. In any case, Ochla, if at this point he eats the fig, Loika Achas, then he's getting one malk, then he's getting one time malkus, because there is one thing that he missed, which is to give Trumas Meiser. Again, Trumas Meiser is going to be something that he himself as a Kohen can eat. Nevertheless, though, he still has not made it completely not Tevel, because he's still missing one thing. And in fact, the Rivon goes on to say that, now if he had said, for example, if he had said Trumas Maisa would be in the middle of it, then fine, then he would be good, because as a Kohen, he can eat Truma and Trumas Maisa, and as far as Maisa Rishon, it's supposed to go to the Levi, but he doesn't get Malkus for eating it, and as far as Maisa Sheni, again, he's in Yerushalayim when he does this, so therefore he's fine with Maisa Sheni, or the same thing with Maisa Oni. There's no Malkus for eating Maisa Oni, it just means that he's stealing it from the Aniyim. In any case, so then he would get one Malkus. V'zor sha'achla, if a Zor were to do the same thing and then eat it, loika shtayim, then he would be getting two Malkus, one for eating Tevel and one for eating Truma. Now, if he had eaten it to begin with without designating any of the Trumas and Maisers, ain't a loika ela achas, then he would only be getting the one Malkus for eating Tevel. And it's all Tevel includes everything, so you wouldn't be getting separate Malkus for the fact that it contains within it the yet to be designated Truma and Trumas Maiser, because that doesn't matter, because right now it's still all Tevel. Which, by the way, within this, there is machloikas rishonim, which kinds of produce are chayav in trumas and maestros minatora. The Rambam holds that all fruits are chayav in trumas and maestros minatora. So according to the Rambam, Or Gemara, it works out very neatly, and in fact, Or Gemara would be a proof that figs, which are not like this, you have the Torah, when it mentions Truma and Meiser, it always mentions Dogon Tidush V'Yitzer, grain, wine, and oil. It never mentions any other fruit. So later on, Divrayam mentions that they brought Truma and Meiser from other fruit as well. That doesn't necessarily mean that's Zaraisa. The Rambam, however, holds that for all fruits, it is in fact Daraisa. So, and Or Gemara would be a proof for that, because we're talking about getting Malkus. Tosfos, in various places in Shas, holds that no, only grain, grapes, and olives are high of Midaraisa. So, according to them, we'd have to say that when we talk about over here, I mean, him eating Tevel or Trumas Maiser or whatever, or figs, then he'd be high of Malkus, we mean Makas Maudus de Rabbanon. And in addition, Achronim point out that one fig is not necessarily a Kazayas either, let alone the Truma or Trumas Maiser or whatever from it. So it's not a Kazayas, and the Kazayas is the minimum to be Chayav Malkus anyhow. So again, we might be talking about Malkus Maudus for that reason alone. Be that as it may, the Gemara says the proof that we want to bring is Taima de Issei B'Yerushalayim. Now, why is it that the Kohen is that the Kohen or the Zor is not getting Malkus for eating the Maisa Sheni? Must be Taima de Issei B'Yerushalayim, because he's in Yerushalayim when he designates the Maisa Sheni, and therefore we're good. Hobbit Gvulin, implying that he had been outside Yerushalayim and he was a Zoran aid at Loika Sholish. He would be getting three Malkus, one for the fact that it was Tevel, one for the fact that he ate so we're talking about it's still partially Tevel because it still has a degree of Tevelness to it because he didn't designate all the Trumas and Maisers. He didn't designate Trumas Maiser. In addition, as a Zoro, he ate the Truma, he ate the Truma from it. And in addition, we would also say because he ate Maiser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. And in the case of a Kohen, it would be two for Tevel and for Maiser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. So that, because Rabbi Yossi is only mentioning the case where he's in Yerushalayim. De afa gav de lav roya pnei choyma. Now, even though, ve'af, actually, our goes habach changes it too, ve'afa gav de lav roya pnei choyma. Now, even though we're talking about, when we say begvulin, the pashtus, we mean it was never brought to Yerushalayim, and still we'd be saying, the implication of what Rabbi Yossi is saying, is he'd still be getting malchus for eating ma'aser sheni outside Yerushalayim once he designated it. Now, according to what we just said, why should he be getting malchus at that point? As Tosfos said, well, at that point, as Rabbi Yochanan had said, the lav hasn't kicked in yet because it wasn't brought into Yerushalayim. And as Tosfos says, at that point, he's only over on an esser if he eats it outside Yerushalayim. So in other words, and if that weren't the case, Rabbi Yossi shouldn't be distinguishing whether he's in Yerushalayim or outside of it, because either way, if the Maaser Sheni wasn't brought into Yerushalayim, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no malchus yet for eating it. So the answer is, the Gemara says, da'ayli va'apki. So the answer is, you would have to say that he actually brought the Maaser Sheni into Yerushalayim, he brought the fig into Yerushalayim, and then he took it back out. The Rivan changes the word actually, da'ayli va'apki, which means that he took it out, because after all, we're talking only about one fig. All right, the Gemara says, Yehochimai lememra. Well, in that case, then what's the chiddush? Everything that we said in the Braisa, in that case, we know. We know a person gets malchus for eating tevel. We know a zur gets malchus for eating truma. We know that as long as you haven't taken all the trumas and maestras out, or designated them at least, then it's still tevel. And we know you can't eat maestras sheni outside your shalayim once it was brought in. So then what's the chiddush of anything he's saying? Mela, in other words, if we didn't say Rabbi Yochanan's din, then that would be the chiddush. Precisely that a person is chayav, for his chayav malchus, for eating Maaser Sheni, even before it was brought into Yerushalayim. But if you're telling me that he brought it into Yerushalayim and out, then there's no chiddush in it. So the answer is, the answer is, we're not talking about that he took it into Yerushalayim after he designated Maaser Sheni. We're talking about he brought it into Yerushalayim while it was still Tevel, before he started designating anything, or at least before he designated the Maaser Sheni. Again, would be in plural. So again, the Girsa should really be Da'ilei B'Tivlei, that he brought it into Yerushalayim while it was still Tevel, because we're talking about one fig over here. Anyway, so therefore the chiddush of the braisa is the kosavar, because Rabbi Yossi holds matonas shleihumu k'mishuhumu damyan. The matonas, the trumas and maestros, in this case we're focusing on maaser sheni, even though they have not yet been designated, they're considered as though they were already designated. In other words, now the Ritva points out, we don't say this for kula, if it was tevel, the kohen's not chayev, for it was not chayev malchus for it, because eventually he'd be able to eat the trumas maaser. What we mean is l'chumra, we say that whatever is supposed to be designated is considered as though it already was. Well, the result of that is then that even though he had not yet designated Maaser Sheni, it's considered, according to that way of looking at it, as though he already had, and now it was brought into Yerushalayim, and now therefore now it was raw pnei choyma, and now therefore malchus would kick in as far if he takes it back out of Yerushalayim and eats it. So there's no contradiction on Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan is talking about where it was not brought into Yerushalayim in the first place, and here we're talking about where the produce was brought into Yerushalayim and then taken back out, but the Maaser Sheni wasn't designated until it was taken out of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, "V'savar Rabbi Yosi matanas shalai homo k'mishu homo dami." So you're telling me Rabbi Yosi holds of that concept that even before you designated the matanas, it's considered as though they were already designated, and therefore we can already say that once the produce was brought into the city, then it's considered ma'aser sheni was already in Yerushalayim, and taking it out, the person would still be chayav malchus for eating it outside Yerushalayim. The problem with that is, V'atanya, we learn in a b'raisa, Reb Shimon Yehuda Oymen, Meshum Reb Yosi, Lo nechlechu bes shama bes filo, al peres shel enigma malachton, v'ovu b'yushalayim. Now, bes shama and bes filo do not argue about, namely, we're going to have, the Gemara is going to bring soon, like I was going to bring in the next couple of lines, a machloikas with Shama Basilo on that subject, namely like this. You have a machloikas in a Mishnah, in a Mishnah, in Masechta Maisa Sheni, when Peres Shalom Nigma Malachtam, when you have Peres that, when Peres that had not yet had Gmar Malacha, and then they were brought into Yerushalayim, so then you have a machloikas in a Mishnah in Maisa Sheni, what you do as far as the Maisa Sheni, whether now, so the produce was brought into Yerushalayim, but at that point it did not yet have Gmar Malacha, are you allowed then to take it out of Yerushalayim and then be able to redeem the Maaser Sheni once it's Gmar Malacha and once you designate the Maaser Sheni and eat it outside of Yerushalayim? Bais Shammai holds no, Bais Hillel holds yes. Further on, in our Braisa over here, Rabbi Yosi is going to be bringing a different understanding of the Machlokas. In any case, so Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying no. When Peres Shaloid Nigma Malachtam, when the processing of the Peres has not yet been completed, and therefore they're not even Chayiv and Truma and Maisa yet, there's no question the Ovo B'Yerushalayim, even if that produce passed through Yerushalayim, says Rabbi Yosi, there's no question she put a Maisa Sheni in Shavahan, the Ocho B'Homokim, that the Maisa Sheni, once the Gmar Malacha takes place, and once the Maisa Sheni is designated, then you can take that Maisa Sheni and redeem it and eat it anywhere, because the fact that it was in Yerushalayim doesn't matter, since it was in Yerushalayim before Gmar Malacha. So in other words, Rabbi Yosi does not hold. On the face of it, that Matanis Shaloi Humu Kamisha Humu Damian. Otherwise, he would say that even now, that produce should be considered. It has, and eventually, it's going to have Maaser Sheni in it, and it should be considered as though the Maaser Sheni was already in Yerushalayim. That's the Gemara is going to ask that in a few lines. Continues Rabbi Yosi. Valman network continues. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yosi. Valman nechloku. What is the machlokas v'shama v'shilul about? Al peiros shenigma malachdon. When the gmar malacha did take place, v'ovu b'Yerushalayim, and then they brought them through Yerushalayim and then took them back out. So now v'shama omim yachzu ma'aser sheni shalhem v'ochel b'Yerushalayim. So now v'shama says that you're going to have to return the ma'aser sheni and eat it in Yerushalayim, because once it was in Yerushalayim after gmar malacha, and at that point it was chayiv and truma and ma'aser, then therefore at that point the ma'aser sheni has already been grabbed by the walls of Yerushalayim, kultu mechitzes, as the Gemara calls it. So therefore, so you have to bring that Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim, and you can't be poyder anymore. But Basilami, part of Yahab Khomakim, Basilo says you could still be poyder and bring it and eat it elsewhere. So now, of course, when it comes to Machlokas, Mishama Basilo, generally the halacha is like Basilo. So since Rabbi Yosi understands Beis Hillel to be saying that even when there was Gmar Malacha and the Peiros were in Yerushalayim, and nevertheless we still say that the Maaser Sheni later on, when it's designated, can be taken out of Yerushalayim, the Maaser Sheni can be designated outside Yerushalayim, and then it can be redeemed over there, rather than saying that it was considered as though it was already in Yerushalayim. So therefore, be sakadaydach matonas shloi humu k'mishu humu damian. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yosi holds that the matonas are considered as though they were separated even before they actually were, then the problem is hakoltu mechitzis. The problem with that is that now you have the produce was already in Yerushalayim. The walls of Yerushalayim already grabbed it and gave it a kedusha, where now you can't take it out of Yerushalayim. So how would that work? Mela, according to the Tana of the Mishnah in Masechta Maaser Sheni, that has a different understanding of the machlokas with Shama Basilo. According to him, the whole machlokas is only when not nigma malachdan, but if nigma malachdan, then definitely the Maaser Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Well, then according to him, good. So we're saying because matonas shleihumu k'mishahumu damian, as it's one thing when they were in Yerushalayim before Gmar Malacha, fine. At that point, the the whole chiyuv of trumas and maisus has not kicked in yet. But once that chiyuv is already applicable, then you would say once they're brought into Yerushalayim, then the matonis are considered as though they were already designated, and therefore that maisus sheni already was grabbed by the walls of Yerushalayim and has to remain in there. But here we're talking according to Rabbi Yossi. If Rabbi Yossi is saying that even after Gemar Malacha, the Maaseh Sheni is not considered designated yet, then that means he holds that Matonis Shlehumu are not Kamishahumu Damian, and that's why he says the Sillel will allow you to keep that Maaseh Sheni outside Yerushalayim and be poided and eat it over there. And that contradicts how we understood that. So now, going back to, again, we tried to say that Rabbi Yossi in the Uliyur Braisa that we quoted is saying Matonas Shlehumu Kamishahumu, and that that's the Chiddush in what he's saying, but now it comes out that not so, he doesn't hold that. Therefore, we're back to the question, what is the Chiddush of his original Braisa about the two or three Malkus for the fig? And if there's no chiddush in it, then how does that square with what Rabbi Yochanan is saying about that there's no malchus until it reaches Yerushalayim? So the Gemara answers, Omar Rabba, it's like this. You have to distinguish between two different kinds of things as far as the wall of Yerushalayim. When it comes to Maaseh Sheni, Omar Rabba, Mechitza Lecho, the concept that once the Maaseh Sheni is brought into Yerushalayim, that you have to eat it within those walls, and you cannot take it out, and if a person takes it out, he's Chayav Malkus, that would be Daraisa. So that would be, as Rabbi Yochanan had said, that would be Daraisa. And to that extent, we do say, Matonas Shalehumu Kamishahumu Damyan, so therefore, And for that matter, and therefore, if the produce was brought in there after Gemar Malacha, even if, and Maaseh Sheni had not been designated yet, we'd say Matonas Shalehumu Kamishahumu, and therefore that you need to, and therefore that once you designate the Maaseh Sheni, you have to keep it in Yerushalayim. And if he takes it out, then he would be Chayav Malkus for it. But Mechitza Likloit, but the concept that once Maaseh Sheni was in Yerushalayim, that you can't take it out of there and be poyed to that it's been grabbed by the walls, and now you can't, now you can't take it out and be poyed to that anymore, that is Dirabbanan, that whole concept is only Dirabbanan. When the Chachamim made that Gzera, Ki'isei Be'enei, they made that Gzera only when you have actual Maaseh Sheni that's already been designated. B'tivlei le'gozer Rabbanan, but not when it's still Tevel. So that is why this Hillel holds, in that case then, so what are we talking about? These Peiros were brought into Yerushalayim after Gemar Malacha, but the Maaseh Sheni had not yet been designated. Therefore, so Rabbi Yossi is going to say, this Hillel is going to hold, yes, if you are designated the Maaseh Sheni, you have to keep it inside the walls, and if you take it out of the walls and eat it there, then there's malchus. That would be what we were saying before. But what about taking it out and being poyed? On a daraisa level, you would have been allowed to. Only darabanan, you would not. And since in this case, the Maaseh Sheni had not even been designated yet, then therefore, Basila will hold. That's fine. You can take that tevel outside your shrine, declare Maaseh Sheni over there, and then you can be poyed to that Maaseh Sheni, and you're all good. In fact, what we talked about yesterday, about what we do nowadays with Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim, where one possibility is just that we take the produce outside the old city, declare Maaseh Sheni over there, we poured it, and then we can eat it. That's based on that possibility is based on this Gemara over here, because if you're designated the Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim, then you'd have the problem, the Dirabbanan and the Mechitzas are Koltos, and now you can't take it outside Yerushalayim, but here where the Maaseh Sheni had not been designated yet, then you're all good. So in other words, Tosfos teaches out. So when it comes to being poida, then we say it's not considered kamishahumu damyan, and therefore you can still take it out of Yerushalayim and redeem it, which is what Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi's understanding of this Hillel. But when it comes as far as Malkus, then we say the fact is it was ro pnei abayis. It was brought into Yerushalayim, and therefore to that extent we say matonas shleihumu kamishahumu damyan, and therefore if he takes that Maaseh Sheni and eats it outside, and when he designates it and eats it outside Yerushalayim without being poyde, then he is in fact going to be chayav Malkus. Okay, that's one answer. What got us into this answer is in order to explain in the earlier Braisa about the one or two or three times Malkus was to explain what the Chiddush of it is. So we're saying the Chiddush is that Rabbi Yossi holds Matanas Shleihumu Kamishahumu Damian, but we're saying that concept applies only insofar as the Maisa Sheni itself. But not as far as when you have Tevel that is going to have Maisa Sheni taken from it. Where there, we're not going to apply that concept, and therefore we're going to allow him to take it outside Yerushalayim. Ravina says, let's go back and we can find a different chiddush in that braisa about the number of Malkus, and then that doesn't require us to say that Rabbi Yossi holds Matanas Shleihumu Kamishahumu. Ravina Omar. So before we ask, if the Braisa just wants to tell us how many times Malkus he gets, then it's Poshur. Wouldn't it be that the Braisa was telling us the Chiddush about where it didn't yet reach Yerushalayim, and it would contradict to Yochanan, and we ended up saying that no, we're talking about where it did reach Yerushalayim, and there's this whole business of Matanas Shleihumu. Ravina says a different answer. Because going to knock it like Bakanya, you can be talking about where he's holding the Maisa Sheni on a stick. So even though the Maisa Sheni never actually came into Yerushalayim, but he himself did go in to the wall of Yerushalayim, and therefore, if the Rivan teaches, it's still considered raw Pnei Achoyma if he now takes it outside Yerushalayim and eats it. So that's the Chiddush. In other words, he himself is in Yerushalayim, but he's holding the Maisa on a stick. And even then, if he takes it further away, and if he then goes back outside Yerushalayim and eats it, he's going to be Chayiv Malkus, because it's being held by him who stands inside Yerushalayim. The Tifshit, Boya did a Papa, in which case, Ravina says, you can use that to answer Rapapa's question. We left off yesterday that Rapapa had asked precisely that question. When you're standing in Yerushalayim and you have Maisa Sheni on a stick outside the wall, is it considered that it was brought into Yerushalayim or not? So Ravina says, based on the Braisa before, we can answer that yes, at least according to Rabbi Yossi, the answer would be that he would be Chayiv Malkus for that. Meaning, in other words, that according to that, we don't need to make any distinctions between Mechitza Lechol and Mechitza Likloit as far as the dinim of eating Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim versus taking it out of there and being poydet. We don't need to talk about Matanas Shleihumu or Kamishahumu or not, but rather we're talking about this case of the stick. Now, the Rivan explains that we're talking about where he himself is inside the city and the stick is sticking outside of the city and we're talking about then, the Rivan explains, where then he goes outside Yerushalayim and eats it over there. So in that case then, so even though it never actually came into Yerushalayim, but as far as the Malkus for eating it outside Yerushalayim applied, it would apply because it's considered raw Pnei Achoyma. Now Tosfos learns differently and says that we're talking about that when would we say that if he eats it outside of Yerushalayim would be where he himself is standing. So Tosfos has the expression that he's standing bein hakanim between the sticks, or different girsa. The Maharam has a girsa mibifnim that he's standing inside, but he's still holding the stick outside, and nevertheless, in other words, he reaches and takes some of the miser off the stick. So in other words, even in the case where it still remains hanging at the end of the stick, and he eats it outside of Yerushalayim, he's going to be Chayiv Malkus. But as far as according to Tosfos, if a person were to be standing outside of Yerushalayim and eating off the end of the stick, he would in fact be potter. Only this person who's standing inside Yerushalayim and then he reaches out and takes some of that Maisa Sheni and sticks his head out or something and eats it, and then he would be chayiv. Then you have a different explanation that it's all brings from Ravina Hanano, a different explanation that Ravina is actually not referring to that Braisa about the fig at all. He's referring to the other Braisa about Bishama Basilo and Gmar Malacha that we're talking about, just the other way around. The person is standing inside Yerushalayim. The fruit is on a stick outside Yerushalayim, and then the question is it considered that it was brought into Yerushalayim, and therefore you can't be poyed to the Maisa Sheni anymore, and therefore and therefore that would be the question whether according to Beis Hillel you can be poida or whether it's too late because you already have kultur mechitzis. So it comes out, by the way, according to the Rivan and according to Tosfos' explanation, we're saying a chumrah on it. Even though the peiros have not been brought into Yerushalayim, they're considered to some extent as though they've been brought in, and therefore, according to the Rivan, if he then goes out himself and eats from it, he's going to be chayav malchus. And according to Tosfos, even if a person stands inside and takes some of the fruit and eats it, he's going to get malchus. Whereas according to the Rabbeinu Hananel's explanation, And the Oruch HaNer explains that the Rambam seems to hold like that as well. Faket, we're saying that we're being makel because it wasn't brought into Yerushalayim, even though it's on the end of a stick that's being held by somebody in Yerushalayim, it's still not too late to be poided, and we don't say kol turu mechitzis because it never actually went into the walls of Yerushalayim. In any case, the various braises that we quote don't contradict Rabbi Yochanan's din, and therefore we're left with Rabbi Yochanan's din, which is that until it's brought into Yerushalayim, then there's no malchus for eating it. Now the Mishnah is going to continue. We've gone through a couple of Mishnayos so far in our Perek listing various things for which a person is chayav malchus, and the last Mishnah had mentioned about Bikurim and Ma'aseh Sheni, which that drove most of the Gemara that we learned over the last couple of blocks. So now we're continuing with other areas in which a person would be chayav malchus. Again, the Mishnayos are not here to list every case where a person is chayav malchus. The Rambam lists over 200 of them, but rather the Mishnah is primarily focusing on ones where there's some kind of chiddush. So you have like this. The Torah tells us a number of things that a yid is not allowed to do with his body. Those are going to be the subject of this Mishnah and the next Mishnah. First of all, the Pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to pull out your hair. It actually says it in two different places. You have in Parsha Suda A, it's addressed to the Jewish people in general. Don't make a bald spot on your head because of a dead person, out of grief for a dead person. The Rambam explains that the Oved Avodah Zarah in those days would do that kind of thing, and therefore the Torah doesn't want you to do it. But Koyanim, it also says specifically, lo yukruchu kocha b'roshem. We're going to deal with in the Gemara why it needs to say it twice. You also have then, the Torah tells us in two different places that the person is not allowed to cut or gash his skin, also because of grief over a mess or something. And in one place, the Torah says about Koyanim over Sodom lo yisur to Sorotes, and by the Jewish people in general, lo yisis goydidu, the Gemara is going to talk about Gdida and Slita, what the exact definitions of those things are. Anyway, so you have those, and then we have the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to shave your payas or your beard. Those also, the Torah repeats twice, once for the Jewish people collectively, in Parshas Kedoshim, lo yisakifu pasroshchem, lo yisashchus es pasroshchem. And then it mentions it specifically about Koyanim, about the beard, of Asakonim lo yigalechu. So now, we're going to deal with the dinim of those mitzvahs. Then in the next mission, we're going to deal with other mitzvahs that have to do with the body, such as tattooing and other things like that. So the Mishnah says, if a person makes a bald spot on his head, pulls out the hair, or otherwise, as the Gemara is going to talk about, for example, using some kind of cream to remove the hair or whatever. So he does that, and he does that because of tsar over a mess. And the chiddush of it is, by the way, the Gemara is going to talk about that sometimes you can have, he gets one single hasra, but he does it in multiple places on his head at one time, and he's chayav multiple malchus, so that would be why the Mishnah, the Ritva says that's the reason why the Mishnah is mentioning this, because again, the Mishnah is only focusing on things where there's some kind of chiddush. The Oruch HaNer actually says differently, that the chiddush is that a person is chayav for the whole head, even though when it comes to one place where the Torah mentions it, it mentions only bein einechem. And we're going to see that then usually bein einechem means right above you, right in the middle of your forehead, like by tefillin, but we're going to see in the Gemara how we know that it applies to the whole head. Okay, so a person does that. Or he rounds the corners of his head, meaning he shaves off his payas, Now you have like this, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that as we're going to see in the Gemara, you have, you feel where your hairline is. You have above your ear, your hairline bends up and goes over your ear. Then you have, then it dips down to form your pedis, and then it goes back up again and goes to the hair, and goes to the hair by your temples and by, and onto your forehead. So basically you have a straight line there from the front to the back of the head, with the exception of the pedis dipping down in the middle. So makif pasrosho would be where a person shaves off his payas and makes that. Now you have a complete circle over there rather than have that break of the payas in between. So that kind of thing that a person is chayav malchus for. The Rav Shlomo Shneur Hirsch has a very interesting explanation of the idea behind growing your payas. He says the Torah wants that there should be a distinction between the front and the back of your head. He says the front of your head is mainly where you have the parts of your brain that have to do more with the human side of your intellect. And the back of your head is more the areas that have to deal with like basic survival functions and things like that. So the Torah wants there to be a distinction between the front and the back. It shouldn't be that you make as though all of those are the same thing. There should be a distinction between them. So you can't shave your pace. Next, also a person who destroys the corners of his beard, and as we're going to talk about, there are several different opinions among Rishonim what the corners are. I sent last night on the WhatsApp group a diagram showing about five different opinions where those are, so you can refer to that. Anyway, or another one is a person makes one single scratch or gash on his body because a la mess over a dead person. Now, we don't just mean if it was one. If it was more, also he'd be chayev, but the Mishnah is going to go on to distinguish between whether he does one or more. In all those cases, chayev, so he'd be chayev malchus for all of that. What about sorat srita achas al chamisha mesim? What about if he made one gash in his skin because of five mesim who died? Oy chomish sritis al mes echod, or the other way around, five gashes because of one mess. Chayev akal achas vachas is going to be chayev separate malchus for each one, as we'll learn in the Gemara how we know that concept. What about al ha-roish shayim? For the head, a person would be chayev two malchus, achas mikan, v'achas mikan, one for the peah on each side. So the point is, as we'll learn in the Gemara, it could even be, for example, that he shaves the both of them at one time, and he'd be chayev double malchus for that because there were two different peahs. Alazokin, as far as the beard, then you have shtayim mikan or shtayim mikan. You have two corners of the beard on each side of the face, va'achas milamata, and one on the bottom by the chin. So pretty much everybody agrees that the fifth one on the bottom is the chin, but you have a number of different opinions as in that diagram where the other four places are. The Rivan over here says that it means you have on the jaw itself. You have the part of the jaw that sticks the furthest back directly below the ear, and then you have further along you have the point where the jawbone meets where the jaw meets the chin. So therefore, so those would be two on one side, two on the other, and then the fifth itself would be the chin. We don't have Rashi over here on Makkos, but we have Rashi in Masechta Shavuos, the next Masechta we're going to learn, Be'ez Hashem, where it also mentions this point about shaving the beard and what a person is chayav for. Rashi's definition there is different. It means that the middle corners he agrees with the Rivan, that's close to the chin, on either side of the chin, but the upper one, he says, is right below the payas, right by the bone over there, where your payas end and your beard begins. And then the Rosh brings Rashi as saying, the Rosh brings Rashi as saying, or the other way around, actually, Rashi there. So the Rosh in all Gemara brings Rashi as saying that you have, he agrees with the Rivan on the bottom one, and he's just arguing on the top one. He says that it's near the ear rather than at the bottom of the jaw, rather than further down on the draw. Rashi himself in Shavuos has a whole different definition. He explains that we have the width of the beard across the face. You have from the payas until below, until the cheekbones. That's the width of the beard, and those wouldn't be, and those would constitute two of the things on one side, two on the other, and then you have the chin is the fifth one. Then you have other opinions, as you can see in the diagram over there. You have Rabbeinu Hanano, who holds that the corners of the mouth would be two of them, and you have the Rambam holds that it means the Rambam is kind of a hybrid of Rashi and Shavuos, and of Rashi and Shavuos, and the Rivan, where he holds it's near the, it's right below the payas and the back of the and the back of the jaw. So you have several different opinions. The bottom line is the Rosh says don't be shaving any part of your beard because with a razor, because you have all of these things. This is aside from the fact that Pikabala, you're not supposed to be shaving your beard anyhow, because that Pikabala, that the beard has to be due with Tikkun Dikna, the ways in with the 13 midas rachmim by which Hashem brings chesed and rachmim into the world, and shaving the beard interferes with that, etc. The Mishnah continues. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Nitvu Kulam Ka'achas. Rabbi Eliezer says if a person were to take off all the payas or all the head or all the payas of the beard all at once, Ein Chayv Ala Achas, then he'd be chayv only one malchus. Meaning he disagrees with what we just said before, that if a person shaves off both his payas, then he's going to be chayv two malchus. Rabbi Eliezer says that no, if it was ka'achas, if it was b'vasachas, then there's only one malchus. Continues the Mishnah. Ve'enechayev ad sheitlanu b'tar. Now the whole iser of removing the payas to the beard, or the beard particularly, would only be when he uses a razor, which cuts directly on the skin. Now the expression in the pasuk is voice sashris es pas v'konecha. Don't destroy the corners of your beard of a razor destroys in the sense that it cuts the hair down to the root and maybe even below the skin. But anything else, scissors or whatever, doesn't get quite such a close shave, and therefore it wouldn't be osur on this level d'oraisa. This is where you have all of the discussion nowadays about various kinds of shavers, which ones are technically mutter, which ones are not. You have all kinds of considerations involving that. And again, al pi kabbalah, you shouldn't even be trimming the beard, let alone cutting it, let alone shaving it, whether with a razor or whether with anything else. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says no. I feel a lichter, the malkut over a hitni. Rabbi Eliezer says that no. Even if he were to remove the hair of the beard with a malkut or a hitni chayev, then he would also be chayev malkus because he considers that giluach. A malkut and a hitni. There's again several different explanations among the Rishonim what a malkut and a hitni are. The Rivan doesn't define them over here. Rashi elsewhere in Shas defines that they're both types of planes that are used to smooth out wood. The Goinim and Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rambam have somewhat different definitions where a malkut would be some kind of tweezers, and a rehitni would be also Rabbi Goin, for example, defines that a malkut is something like a single piece of metal that's with a sharp tip that you put it over there and then you use it to break off the hair, whereas a rehitni would be a tweezers. Similarly, the Rambam understands the malkut to be tweezers, and rehitni is some other kind of thing that pulls the hair out completely. So a few different possibilities what they are exactly. Anyway, Rabbi Eliezer is saying a person is chayav malkus for them. The Chachamim are saying not, because they're not a tar. They don't quite destroy the hair as completely as a tar does. So the Gemara says, let's start with the fact that we said that if a person made a korcha, made a bald spot on his head, then he's chayav malchus when he does it for a mess. So, Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, by koyanim it says lo yikruhu. They should not make themselves bald. Yochala for the korach arba v'chomesh krichos lo yehechayv ala achas. So you would think from that it doesn't matter how many krichos, how many bald spots he makes. He'd be chayav only one time. No, Tamad Loimar, Therefore, the pasuk says korcha. It could have just said lo yikruchu. Instead, it says lo yikruchu korcha. So therefore, the word korcha comes to add that no matter how many korchas he makes, he's chayev individually for each one. I forgot to mention, by the way, actually, the Rivon goes into a long discussion over here why it is that the Chachamim are saying in the Mishnah that he'd be chayev separate malchus for even if he does both payas, let's say he shaves off each payah with one hand at the same time, and they only gave him one asra, because the fact is you have a payah on each side, and the same way, as we're saying over here, a person is chayev for every korcha, the same way he's going to be chayev for every payah. The Mishnah doesn't have to bring the posit for it, because the same way as the Mishnah had brought that for sereh, that for scratching and gashing things in his body for a mess, he's chayev individually for each one, we would say the same thing as far as the payah, it's the same logic. Although the Rivan says the Gimgum, it's a little hard to understand fully why we would say that. Why indeed the Mishnah does not bring a limud for it. The Marshal and the Marshal talk about what exactly the Rivan means by that. So the Maharsha says, in other words, the idea is that when it comes to the payas, you don't really have a chiddush because you only have two payas, as opposed to when it comes to the beard and when it comes to five korchas and five svitis, where you have there can be as many as five. So then it's a greater chiddush to say that he should be chai of all those times. So when it says lo yikruchu yochal for the korach abu v'chomesh kriches, so if he did four or five bald spots, lo yehi chayv al achas, you'd think he's chayv only one time malchus. Tamad lama korcha. Therefore, the pasuk says the extra word korcha l'chayv al kol korcha v'korcha. Therefore, it teaches us that he is in fact chayv individually for each bald spot. Next, Beroisha Matamadlema. Why does the pasuk continue by the Koyanim and say that it shouldn't make a bald spot on their head? Where else would they be making it? Lefisha Nemar. So the reason is because by the rest of the Jewish people. So in other words, the Gemara wants to douche. In other words, the Rivan says Lav Dafu Kamalei. Of course you need the word Beroisham. Otherwise you would think a Korcha anywhere on the body. But the fact is Beroisham implies anywhere on the entire head. So why do we need to be told that? So the reason is Lefisha Nemar. Lafisha Nema, because it says by the rest of the Jewish people, Loisis Goydu, you should not gash yourselves, Velaisasimu Korcha Bene Nechem Lameis, don't make a bald spot between your eyes for a dead person. Now, between your eyes would mean like the tefillin, means directly above your hairline. Yocho Loye Chayev Elal Ben Hainayim, Bilvad, so maybe a person is Chayev only for between the eyes, meaning directly above the forehead. Minayim l'rabis kol ha'roish. How do we know to include the entire head? Tamud lema b'roisham. Therefore, the pasuk says b'roisham by the koyanim l'rabis kol ha'roish. Therefore, it comes to include any place on the head where it's any place on the head, and not just b'nei nechem. Which the Gemara in Kedushin explains that it brings it over here. In that case, why by Yisraelim does it say Beinei Nechem? The reason is so that we can use that to understand what Beinei Nechem means by Tfilin. How do we know that Beinei Nechem, that Tfilin, where it says Beinei Nechem, Beinei Necha, Beinei Nechem, that doesn't mean literally between your eyes, is because we're talking about over here, about making a korcha over here. And you can't make a korcha between the eyes. Most people don't have hair growing between their eyes, so therefore it has to mean above the forehead. So we use that for that gzeira shava. The Gemara says, the Braita continues, Ve'en li ela b'koyanim. Now, so far, though, we would say maybe that only applies to koyanim. Should riba ben hakotzim, mitzvah yiseris. We know that koyanim have other mitzvahs that don't apply to regular Jews. So maybe you would say that koyanim are chayev for making a korcha anywhere on their head. Maybe Yisraelim are chayev only for making it above the hairline. Yisrael minayin. How do we know the same thing applies to any Jew? And the answer is because of Gzeira Shava. Nemakan Korcha v'nemalahalan Korcha. Because we have the same word Korcha by the regular Jews and by the Koyanim. Loisasimu Korcha and Loyikuchu Korcha. So therefore, malahalan chayev al korcha v'korcha, just like by the Koyanim, the word korcha meant that they're chayev individually for every korcha, v'chayev al rosh kebein ha'inayim, and furthermore, they chayev for any place on the head, just like between the eyes, just like above the forehead, Afkan, the same way by Yisrael, a yid, a regular yid, would be chayev for every korcha, and he would be chayev for any place on the head. Now, on the other hand, only by the Yisrael does it mention that this is being done because of a mess. Afkan almes, the same way by the Kohen, it has to be davka al almes. If he makes his hair bald for some other reason, then he's not chayev malchus. Okay, so that's what we need. So that's why we have the psukim by the Yisrael and by the Kohen. Each one of them teaches us a detail of the mitzvah that the other one did not. All right, thus far the Braisa. So now the Gemara says, "Hani arba b'chomesh krichas heichidami." When the Braisa had said that a person can be chayav malchus for four or five krichas, what is the scenario? Do we mean that he did them one after the other, and each one individually they gave him asra and told him, don't do that, you're going to be chayav malchus? Pshita. Then obviously he's chayav malchus because he did separate asras and there's separate things. Tosfos actually brings the Rivon's girsa is that all it is there's one hasra and not a matter of basah. Tosfos points out let's do the answer and then we'll talk about the girsas. So we're talking about that he did separate korchas and separate hasrois, then obviously he's chayv separate malchus for each one. Ela b'chod hasra. So rather we have to be talking about, let's say there was only one hasra. So now we'd be saying that there's one hasra, but he did them b'zeh hazeh. The Rivon explains, we don't mean where he did it b'vasachas. They gave him one hasra, and then one after the other, he does a korcha. So why would he be chayv separately for each one? That's according to the Rivon. Purpose. Brings other, so now there was an alternate girsa that said one hasra and b'vasachas, so Tosfos says that no, even if it was b'vasachas, you could say that he made it large enough for five korchas. We're going to deal in the Gemara soon how large the korcha has to be for him to be chayav malchus. So you could even be talking about where he did it all at once. And the question is, so whether he did it all at once, so b'zachazeh, the question is, now, if there's only one hasra, why is he chayav multiple malchus? V'hotnan, wouldn't it be, we learn in a Mishnah by a nazir. Nazir shoyeshoyse yayin kol hayom. A nazir was drinking wine all day. Ein chayav ala achas, and he's chayav only one malchus. Omru loy al tishta, but if they give him hasra each time, and they tell him, don't drink. V'hu shoyse, and every time after each hasra, he takes a drink. Chayav al kol achas v'achas. Then he's chayav individually for each one. So the same way over here. If we're saying that they gave him one hasra, and after that he does one kricha, and after that he does multiple krichas, whether you're talking about, as Tosfos says, maybe even he does a b'zachas, or whether you're talking as the Rivon says specifically he does a b'zachazeh, why, or even if he does a b'zachazeh, why should he be chayev separate malchus for each one? And the Ramban adds, what are you going to say? You're going to say because the Torah said korcha, and it meant he's chayev for each one, fine, but it's still the fact is, you can learn from that he's being over every time he does that, but not necessarily that he's getting malchus, because the fact is, just the same way as the nozer is not getting malchus for each cup of wine, unless they give him separate asura for each one. So the same way we do, why should he be chayev separate for each one? And the answer is, loy tzricha, the chiddush is, let's say he put nosha, which is a cream that removes the hair, on his fingers, and he put five fingers on his head all at once in five different places. Now, it is five krichas, and there was only one hasra, but he did it all b'vasachas, so therefore there's no reason, says the Rivon, to say that the hasra should apply more to one finger than the other. It wouldn't be considered hasra suffic either, because the hasra is on all the fingers. Therefore, right away we see he's not choshish, he's not worried about the hasra, and he goes and does it in five different places, and therefore he's high of five malchus. So that would be why that would be the case. He's high of five malchus, but as opposed to, it is true that if he were to just do, he would have make one korcha, if they were to give him asura, and then he makes one korcha, and then another, then yes, he wouldn't necessarily be high of five malchus, he'd be high of only one. Tosfos has a bit of a discussion over here why indeed he should be getting separate malchus even in that case. The fact is, it's one lav. You're not going to say, for example, a person eats two kazesim of chaylev at one time that he'd be chayev two malchus because astra is for each one. So okay, fine. We do have the word kocha, and we said from that that it means that each one is considered a separate thing. But Tosfos goes on to discuss that point in some detail about why we should consider them separate things, why we don't just consider them one big thing. And in fact, Tosfos ends up saying that, yeah, the point is, it could have even been v'zach or zeh, maybe he would be chayev malchus separately for each one. The chiddush is that even if he does them all at one time, then he's still chayev malchus. So the Gemara says a kamashiu kercha. When we're saying that if he makes a bald spot, then he's chayev malchus. So how large does that spot have to be for him to be chayev? He's also to do even less than that, but what would make him chayev malchus? So the Gemara says Rav Huna Omer kedei shiyiro mi roishay. Rav Huna says when there's enough of a spot that was made bald where now it's noticeable. Within that, you have the Ritva points out. Some say that it means that it has to be noticeable from a distance, and others say it can be even if it's noticeable close up. So that, in other words, Rav Huna might be Mekel or Machma, depending how you look at it. Rav Yochanan, Oyim, Meshum, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Kigris. Rav Yochanan says in the name of Rav Elazar and Shimon, only when the bald spot is the size of a gris. A gris is a type of bean. It comes up in the Halachas of Taras, in this week's Parasha, for example. It comes up in Hilchos Nida, it comes up in a few places in Halacha. It's defined as the area on which 36 hairs would grow, 6 by 6. On the body, that is, not on the hair, not on the scalp where the hair grows closer together, but on the body. Various poskim of different opinions exactly what the size of a gris is. It ranges from somewhat smaller than a dime to about the size of a penny. This is Negei and Hilchos Nida in particular, so the poskim talk about it. The Alter Rebbe, for example, it seems holds that it's approximately the size of a dime. So the Gemara says Kitanoi. There's actually a Machlokas Tanoim on this. Kamashiu Korcha Kigris. What is the size of a Korcha? Is a Gris? I go to Bach. Add Reb Shimon Elazar Oimik Kigris, and that would be the same Reb Shimon Elazar that Reb Yochanan is quoting in the name of Achirim Oimim and Achirim, which usually means Reb Meir says Kadesh Yerami Roishay. In order when there's some of his head visible, again close up or far away, depending how you look at it, as the Ritva says. So in other words, the Machlokas Reb Huna and Reb Yochanan would be the same as this Machlokas Tanoim. But the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva, Pligi bar Tlosa Tanoi. Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva says that there are actually three opinions of Tanoim on the subject. Chad Omer Kegris. One says, as we said, Rabbi Yochanan had said, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, the size of a gris. V'chad Omer Kedesh Yirame Roshoi. Another one, Rabbi Huna, and before him, Achirim, say when some of his hair, when some of his scalp is visible. V'chad Omer. And then there's a third opinion, Keshtei Saivas. The third opinion says, once he pulls out or removes two hairs, then he'd be Chayev Malchus. The Ika Dematik Shtei Cyrus or Ma'ayo Bakadosha. There's a different version that takes out the opinion that says two hairs and instead brings in, according to that different version, the third opinion would say Bakadosha, the size of a lentil, which is considered in Halacha the space in which 2 by 2 hairs can grow. This also comes up in the Halachas of Tzaras in this week's Parasha. You have in this week's Parasha, you have the case where a person has Tzaras and inside it is a michya, an area of healthy-looking skin, where then that's automatically a simen truma, and the definition is that the tzaraas itself has to be at least the size of a gris, and the michya has to be at least the size of an adosha, at least the size of a lentil, which is 2 by 2 hairs. So the simonach, the way to remember that is precisely that din that when it comes to tzaras, baheres kegris, the minimum size of a baheres of a spot of tzaras is the size of a gris, or michya b'kadosha, and the minimum size of a michya inside it is the size of a lentil. So the same way that helps you remember that there's an opinion as far as a korcha, that one opinion says kegris and the other one says kadosha. So it doesn't help you remember all the opinions, fine, and the Rivan actually explains it doesn't help you with the one that says that the scalp should be visible. Fine, for that you don't really need a simon for that because everybody agrees with that. Everybody agrees that according to all the versions would say that it's not shiur kotzer, it's not a fixed amount because it's going to depend on the type of hair and the color of his skin and various factors like that. But at least as far as when we're talking about gris or kadosha, then it helps us remember that there is an opinion that says gris and another opinion that says kadosha. So now the Gemara is going to bring something in Hilchos Shabbos, which is relevant to this halacha of Korcha over here. Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Hanotu Maloi Piazug v'Shabbos, if a person cuts on Shabbos the amount that would go into the tip of a scissors on Shabbos, Chayav and Yischayav Chavos. The Kama, Maloi Piazug, how much is considered enough hair to go into a pair of scissors? Amar Rav Yehuda Shtayim, so Rav Yehuda says it means he cuts two hairs. So if he cuts two hairs on Shabbos, then he's Chayav. Piazug, I mean the tip of the scissors, in other words, you don't have. You can use the scissors to cut a larger amount of hair, but the tip itself can cut only two hairs. So the Gemara says, Valtanya lekorcha shtayim, but don't we learn in a braisa that says as far as korcha, the amount is two hairs, implying that for Shabbos the shear should be another amount. So the answer is Ema. You have to correct that price of a chain lekorcha shtayim. It doesn't mean only for korcha is it two. It means also for Shabbos and for korcha, the amount is two hairs. Alright, the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in a Braisa. Hanotu Maloi Piazug b'Shabbos, if a person cuts the amount of hair on Shabbos that would go into the tip of the scissors, Chayev, then he's Chayev Chatos, Vekama Maloi Piazug Shtayim, and how much is that? Two hairs. Rabbi Eliezer Oima Achas, Rabbi Eliezer says it means even only one hair. Umoidim Chachamim Rabbi Eliezer, now the Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Eliezer, B'Malakit Levonis Mitoch Shchurus, that if a person were to be picking out and cutting out the white hairs from among the black ones, where he wants to do that, so he'll look younger. So afilo achas shu chayev, that even if he takes out one hair, he'd be chayev because he's makbid on that, so he doesn't look old. The Rivan brings that there was a girsa also when he takes out black hairs from among white hairs, but the Rivan doesn't like that girsa. Nevertheless, there are Rishonim who have that girsa, and it would be the same thing, because the point is, in other words, if he's mostly white, he wouldn't necessarily want one black hair in the middle of it either. And, by the way, the Gemara points out, the fact is, that kind of thing, to take out white hairs from among the black ones, or vice versa, would be also, even on weekdays, here we mentioned it as far as Shabbos, in connection with Hilchos Shabbos, but it applies on weekdays as well, because a man is not allowed to wear women's clothing, and that includes to adorn himself and to groom his body the way that women do, and when women are particular about that kind of thing, to take out the hairs of the wrong color. And therefore, man is not allowed to do that even on weekdays. As far as the point over here about cutting out the white hairs and the black hairs on Shabbos, Tosfos points out that this would have to follow the opinion, Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa, Chayev Alel, that a person is Chayev for doing a Malacha, even if he doesn't need the Malacha itself. Here, he doesn't need the hair. On the contrary, he just wants to get rid of the hair. So therefore, this would have to be according to that opinion. Now the Rambam holds Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa Chayev Aleha, so according to him, this would represent the halacha anyway. The Ravid actually disagrees and says that Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa is potter on it, but in other words, the point is that just the fact, the Aruch HaNer explains, even the Ravid would agree that here the main purpose of the Malacha is to make himself look nicer, and therefore would be considered Malacha Tzricha LeGufa, even though he doesn't need the actual hair itself. As far as we're saying that's lo yubash gever, would it mean that he's over daraisa, or that actually would get malchus for it, or do you mean that? It's only also the Rabban on that, also you have Rishonim discuss that point. Okay. So that takes care of the matter of korcha. Next, the Mishnah had said by makif pasroi shavuchola, that a person rounds the corners of his head, shaves off his payas, then he's chayev malchus. So turn around, and pasroi means soif roshay. Pasroi, the word payah usually means the end of something, like the payah of a field. So here it means the ends of the head. This would be where he makes the hair on his temples be in one line with the hair behind his ear and his forehead, because like we said before, you have the hairline goes up above your ear and goes up to your forehead, and in between it dips down to form the payas. So now when a person shaves off his payas, means that he's making all of that be one straight line, and that would be what's usher. The Gemara continues, Toni Tana Kamejer of Chista. Tana, a Tana taught a braisa in front of Rav Chisda, echad a makif for echad a nikaf loike. Whether the person, the makif, the one who shaves off the payas, or the nikaf, the one whose hair was being shaved off, both of them are getting malchus. So Tana taught this braisa in front of Rav Chisda. Omalei, but Rav Chisda says, why should he be chayav malchus? He uses an expression, the ochel tam man, the ochel tamri ba'abela loki. Would you say that someone who ate dates out of a sieve should be getting malchus? In other words, what did he do wrong? The same way, there's nothing wrong with eating dates out of a sieve, even if it's a bit of an unusual thing to do. So the same way, it's a lav she'en by ma'isa. Why should he be chayav malchus? We had a similar expression in Sanhedrin as well. We had a similar thing where the Gemara had said that the navi who doesn't say over the nevuah that he's supposed to. So also the Gemara had used the same expression man de ochel tamri ba'arbala. So, in other words, the question basically is, he's doing something passive. So why should he be? Why should he be chayav malchus? But in other words, yes, it's true. Of course, an issur is being done. But the fact is he's not actually doing something himself and saying that he's only allowing it to be done to him. So now we're saying a person is allowed to eat dates out of a sieve. The same way, on the face of it, a person should be allowed and should allow his beard to be shaven. So why are we saying that? Why are we saying that he'd be chayav malchus? Why are we saying that the nikaf, or the beard, or payas in this case we're talking about? That is chayav malchus. The Rivan brings actually a different point about it. In other words, the same way, let's say, for example, what if he were to be sitting and eating dates over there while he's having his hair cut? Then you could say the only maisa he did was eating dates, and he's not chayav malchus. So the question is, why should he be chayav malchus for being shaved? The Omalachmani, and Rav Chisda continues, who is telling you this? In other words, which Tana would it be? Rav Yehuda. He apparently would only be appealing to Rav Yehuda. The Omalavshein Memaisa Loikinolav. Where Rav Yehuda says that a person does even a lavshet, even when there's no Maisa, then he'd still be Chayav Malchus for it. So you're saying that therefore, even though he didn't do a Maisa, he'd be Chayav Malchus. But the fact is, the Halacha is not like that. A person is Chayav Malchus only for a lavshet Yeshve Maisa. So how could you say, but how could you be saying this Braisa? Rava answers, no, the makif la'atzmei v'divrei hakol. No, because the braisa could be talking about where he shaves his own payas, and then he's doing a maisa, so then he'd be chayiv two malchus. In other words, the point of the braisa would be, he's not just chayiv malchus, because he was over on lois sakifu, where he caused his own hair to be rounded. It would mean, actually, that it means that he's chayiv also because of nikaf, because his payas were shaved. So therefore, the point of the braisa would be that he's chayiv double malchus. Rav Ashi Yomav, Rav Sayyeh, the Divrei Hakol, Rav Ashi gives a different answer that we're not talking about where, and this is halacha, what we mean is that he actually helped out. So for example, he tilted his hair, he tilted his head this way or that to make it possible for the other person to shave him. So then again, even the Chachamim against Rav Yehuda would hold that that's considered a lav sheyesh ben maisa, and therefore he'd be getting malchus for it. So that's the halacha, in fact. So yeah, a person helps out and allows himself to be shaved and moves his head or his beard this way or that way. Then he's chayav malchus. You actually have the Rambam and the Ravid discuss it in a couple of places in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. When the Rambam brings these halachas, the Ravid disagrees with him, and also in the Rambam's list of mitzvahs at the beginning of Yad HaChazakah, he brings the Rambam brings that you're not allowed to shave the payas and you're not allowed to shave the beard, and the Ravid adds you also have lav la makif, lav la nikif, lav la mashkas, lav la nishkas that you have over there, that there's actually a lav for each one, the active, the one who's doing it, one to whom it's being done, and the other way around. So in other words, it sounds like the Ravid seems to understand that Amam is saying that he's not even over on a lav, and therefore the Ravid says, what are you talking about? There is a lav involved, at least over here. So then the point is, in other words, that even if there's a lav she'en me'maisa, so it's also for him to do. He's just not getting malchus unless he actually was maseyeh. All right, we said in the mission of Amashus Pasifone, we said where he destroys the corners of his beard, Torah Rabbana, Pasifone Sof Skone, means the ends of his beard, Ve'ezeu Sof Skone, Shibola Skone, what does the ends of his beard mean? Means the shibolas, literally shibolas means like a sheaf of grain, but it means, in other words, where the hair grows thickly together for the beard, which is, in other words, all those five places that we talked about before, according to the various Rishonim, what are considered the five corners. Fine. So, okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We'll get into the point about svita that we said in the Mishnah, where a person gashes or scratches or whatever his body, a la mess, or forever desire. So we'll talk more about those dinim tomorrow, Beis Hashem.